X-Men: The Last Stand. Copyright 2007 Marvel Characters Inc. All rights reserved. X-Men: The Last Stand. Motion Picture Copyright 2006 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. All rights reserved. Published by Scholastic Limited 2007. Based on the novelization by Danny Fingeroth. Based on the screenplay by Simon Kinberg and Zach Penn. Adapted by Paul Shipton. X-Men: The Last Stand. Prologue. 20 years ago. We're not going to meet every one of them, are we? Eric Lenscher asked as he looked around the quiet street. No. This one is special, replied Charles Xavier, walking towards one of the houses. The two men were good friends. 20 years later, they would be terrible enemies. Soon, they were sitting in the living room while Mr. and Mrs. Gray read the information about Xavier's school for gifted youngsters. It looks wonderful. It's a beautiful place, said Mrs. Gray. What do you think, John? Her husband looked worried. It looks great. But what about Jean? What about her illness? You think your daughter is sick? Lenscher said angrily. Eric, please, said Xavier. He didn't want anything to go wrong. He turned to Jean's parents. We want to help children like your daughter. Maybe we should talk to her alone. Of course, Mrs. Gray replied, and she called upstairs. Jean, can you come down, dear? Xavier could hear something in the mother's voice. Was it fear? A few moments later, the young girl appeared. She was about 13 years old, with beautiful red hair. We'll leave you then, said Mrs. Gray. Jean didn't speak, but she gave the two men a long, cold look. That's very rude, Xavier began. Then he used his power to speak silently inside Jean's mind. It's rude, you know, to read other people's thoughts. Jean looked suddenly surprised. Did you think that you were the only one like you? Said Lenscher. We are mutants, Jean, explained Xavier. We are like you. A smile appeared on the girl's face. Really? I don't think so. Slowly, both men turned and looked out of the window. Every car on the street was in the air, meters above the ground. Now Lenscher understood. This girl was special. I like this one, he said with a smile. But Xavier was very serious. You have more power than you can imagine, he told Jean. The question is, will you control that power, or will it control you? 10 years later, in another part of the country, Warren Worthington Sr. was getting very worried. Son, is everything okay in there? He knocked again on the bathroom door. Yes, the boy replied, but he sounded afraid. Open this door now, cried the father. 1 second. Inside the bathroom, 12-year-old Warren Worthington Jr. tried to put away the tools that he was using, but he wasn't quick enough. His father pushed the door open. He saw his son's pale face and the blood on the floor. And then he saw the things that were growing on his son's back. The boy had tried to cut them off, but Worthington could see what they were. The beginnings of wings. Not you, he said. Worthington Sr. was a rich man. He usually got everything that he wanted. Now his worst nightmare had come true. His own son was a mutant. Over the next 10 years, Worthington Sr. found the best scientists in the world. He gave them the best equipment and laboratories. Now he watched scientist Dr. Kavita Rao work in his laboratories on Alcatraz Island. Years ago, the island had been a prison, but now it was the home of Worthington's Center for the Study of Mutants. Dr. Rao was working on a young boy called Leech. The boy was about 12 years old, and he had big blue eyes and a shaved head. He was a mutant with a very special power. Maybe this boy was the answer to the problem Worthington had thought about for so long. Chapter 1. A Voice from the Past. A city at night. Many of the buildings were destroyed. The air was full of smoke and the sound of explosions. But one man walked through this terrible place looking calm. It was Logan, one of the X-Men and one of the most dangerous mutants in the world. In a fight, he could use the long metal claws in his hands, claws that could cut through anyone or anything. Storm used her weather power to fly ahead of the X-Men and lead them through the city. Suddenly, a strong light shone down and there was an explosion. Pieces of metal flew towards Rogue, but Colossus moved quickly. Using his power, he made his whole body metal. Then he reached out and held Rogue. She was able to take the power of any mutant she touched. Immediately, she became metal too. Logan wasn't so lucky. The flying metal hit him right in the face, but he didn't care. His body had the power to heal itself immediately. Two more young X-Men were following behind them, Bobby Drake and Kitty Pryde. Suddenly, a piece of metal shot towards the two teenage mutants. Quickly, Bobby turned and shot ice at the metal, and it fell to the ground. But another piece of metal was right behind the first. Kitty cried out and held Bobby close. Her power allowed things to go straight through her body, and when she touched another mutant, they could use her power too. The piece of metal went straight through their bodies without any pain. Quickly, Bobby turned and used his power. He held up his hand and shot ice at the metal. It fell straight to the ground. Storm found Logan resting against a car. "They're killing us out here," she said.
"These kids aren't ready yet," Logan replied.
Suddenly, Storm jumped forward and pushed him to one side. Moments later, a huge metal foot crashed down and destroyed the car. The enemy had seen them. Now, lights were shining down, and something was moving towards them. Something really big.
"Stay together," Storm shouted to the others. "We move as a team."
"Good luck with that," said Logan. He was getting tired of all this.
Snicked.
His metal claws were out and ready.
"Throw me," he said to Colossus.
"Logan, don't do it," began Storm.
But Colossus had already turned his body to metal. He picked Logan up easily and threw him towards the enemy in the dark. The X-Men heard the sound of Logan's claws. Then, moments later, something fell to the ground. A huge metal head. The enemy was destroyed. A moment later, the city around them disappeared. The walls of the Danger Room were all the X-Men could see now. Professor Xavier had built this place for the X-Men to train in. The room was in his school in Westchester, but it could look like anywhere in the world.
"Hey, Colossus," said Logan. "Nice throw."
As they left the Danger Room, Storm spoke angrily to Logan.
"What was that? I was trying to teach them something."
"Well, I taught them something,"
Logan joked. But Storm wasn't smiling. She wanted him to work as part of the team. Logan didn't want to argue with her. She could talk to their leader, Scott, if she had a problem. Scott Summers, Cyclops, had been the leader of the X-Men for many years. Now he was a different man.
He hadn't slept or shaved for days. He just sat on the edge of his bed and almost cried. A terrible picture was always in his mind. A woman under the cold waters of Alkali Lake in Canada. It was Jean Grey, the love of his life. She had died in Alkali Lake to save the other X-Men. And then he heard a whisper in his mind. It was Jean. She was saying his name, Scott. Was he going crazy? Was Jean still alive? Scott knew one thing. He had to find out. He picked up his bag and left the room. In another part of the school, Bobby Drake was running after his girlfriend, Rogue. "What's wrong?" he asked.
"Nothing, except that I can't touch my boyfriend without killing him," said Rogue.
"That's not fair," said Bobby. "Have I ever said anything?"
"You're a guy, Bobby. I know you want more," she said, and she walked away.
Bobby just stood and watched her go. Scott was on his way out of the school when Logan stopped him.
"They were looking for you in the danger room," said Logan. "What do you care?" said Scott.
He and Logan had never liked each other.
"I had to take your place."
"I didn't ask you to," said Scott.
"No, the professor did."
"So?"
Logan fought to control himself.
"I know how you feel."
"Don't," said Scott.
"When Jean died, I said don't."
Jean had been Scott's girlfriend. But Logan had loved her too. Logan stepped closer and said,
"Maybe it's time to move on." "Not everybody heals as fast as you," said Scott.
With these words, Scott pushed past Logan and out of the school. Moments later, he was on his motorbike, on his way to Alkali Lake.